Welcome to today's Let's Talk Indianola. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with Indianola City Manager regarding the most recent Indianola City Council meeting. Indianola City Council met in regular session Monday and approved the first reading of some square parking regulation changes. Talk about what those, how those changes came about and what the council approved.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Andrew. The parking on the square became an issue when the courthouse started to go under construction. We heard from some businesses about vehicles parked longer than 3 hours. Our police department started enforcing. That generated some concerns. So what we as staff did, we took it to the council and asked the council, we've heard these complaints. Can we work with the chamber and other entities around the square, businesses and property owners, to see if there's a way we can come up with a solution that's a collaborative one? So the council earlier in the summer passed a resolution that temporarily suspended the regulations or enforcement of the regulations while we worked with the chamber and business owners to come up with what the parking restrictions should be. And what we ended on, based on the input from those stakeholders, was to eliminate the 3 hour parking requirement during the week. So there's still a parking restriction overnight during the overnight hours, but during the day to eliminate the 3 hours. And that's we want folks to come to our downtown, support the businesses. And you know, for instance, if somebody goes to a hair salon, some of your female listeners might attest to the fact that you can't really, sometimes your hair appointment's going to take longer than 3 hours. My wife shared an experience where her appointment was longer than 3 hours. So it's not very customer friendly. And we listened to the business owners in the chamber and developed that this recommendation to the council. We do have in there construction parking shall require permit for on-street parking. So that will be done in coordination with our police department and community development. And that's done through the permitting process when a building is going to be under renovation or requires some work or requires a permit.
All right. Well, the council also came to an agreement on a 28E contract with the Indianola YMCA. Talk about just the details of those changes and the agreement that the council approved.
Yeah. So this project has been something that's been in the works for well over a year. And it started last year in the spring when the then new CEO of the Y, Leisha Barkas, came to the city and said, we have a 28E agreement. The rent is excessive. We need to stay financially solvent. Is there an opportunity to evaluate that? So the then city council directed staff, we have this long-term contract. It's a 25-year contract in place between the city and the Y. Council said, go ahead, staff, work with the Y and see what sorts of proposed terms could come up with. And we, staff, had said all along that if the YMCA is asking for something, then there's got to be some accountability and performance targets. So we worked with, there's a local advisory board, which is comprised of local residents. And we worked on some performance metrics, making sure that they provide us with a proposed five-year plan on different types of updates or maintenance needs or fitness replacement. They would take on the snow removal efforts, which has previously been on the city's shoulders to do. So we worked with the advisory board, worked with the steering committee of the Y, and both of those are contractually required groups, and came to these proposed terms. What was presented to the council was reviewed and supported by those groups, and it called for the rent to be $70,000 a year. So the YMCA pays the city that money. The city owns the building, so we're the landlord, they are the tenant. They pay the rent to the city, which goes into a separate fund that is earmarked for the maintenance of that building per the terms of the 2080 agreement. So the agreement stipulates certain things that the city has to do to maintain the building. For instance, we've got a number of exterior cracks in the building that we're going to be going through the process to repair here in the next several weeks. That's on us. The work is funded through the rent that we receive from the Y. So it doesn't modify any other terms with the exception of it clarifies the definition of pool, which the city is responsible to replace when it's at its end of useful life. But it reduces the rent. The YMCA, in order to receive that reduced rent, has to meet various targets. Most of those targets help protect the city's asset, which is the building, and all the other terms remain the same.
And there was some question about tax money funding the Y. Can you kind of clarify some of the comments that were made at the council meeting and just talk about what funding dollars go in towards the YMCA?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. So there's some misinformation about the YMCA and the operations of the YMCA. The zero property tax dollars goes to support the operations of the YMCA. The YMCA pays the rent to the city. That rent goes into a fund. It's the Wellness Maintenance Fund. And the city accumulates money in that fund. And that is the money that the city uses to fulfill our responsibilities in accordance with the 28E for maintenance of the building. So the contract says us as the landlord have certain requirements to maintain the building. I mentioned the cracks in the wall on the exterior of the building. That's the city's responsibility per the 28E. So the money that's in that fund is what funds the maintenance. So zero tax dollars goes to fund the operations. Also, there was some question about, well, how does the city pay for the bond payments? So the city took out debt to build the building. This was back in 2011, 2012. So bond payments are much like a mortgage. So there was a misconception out there that the rent that the YMCA pays the mortgage or the bond payments. That's not accurate. The city pays those bond payments through an economic development tool called TIF, Tax Increment Financing. It's allowed by state code. This was put in place. It's fairly common. So that pays the debt service. So rent does not pay debt service. Property taxes does not support operations of the facility. In fact, one of the points that we shared with the city council is that under the terms of the agreement, if the Y was to institute their two-year notice provision and they were to withdraw, the bonds that were taken out stipulate that that must be operated as a leisure center recreation facility. And so if the city were to take that on, now the city would not have a funding source to properly operate that facility. So that's when property taxes would be impacted if the YMCA left that facility and the city was forced to then take on the operations of that facility.
Once again, that was Indianola City Manager Ryan Waller discussing the most recent city council meeting. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, find them online daily at KNIAKRLS.com under podcasts and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Let's Talk Indianola.